Now we're going to begin Daf Lamed Vav Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. The last word on the previous Amid is Mastisin Delo Kerbi Dosa. Our Mishnah that says that if you hand over an animal to a shepherd on Yontif, then the shepherd is limited in how much of a distance he can relocate the animal by the Raglia Bailam. It doesn't matter where he, the Roeh himself, the shepherd, was Kona Shvisa, but rather it depends upon where the Bailam were Kona Shvisa, Kiraglia Bailam. And Rabbi Dosa disagrees. The Sanya, we looked at a Braisa, Rabbi Dosa Omer, the Amri Lay, another say it was Abishol Omer. Halokeach, a person purchases Behema Mechaver on Erev Yontif. Afal Pishalom Mesaralo Ela Beyontif. He didn't deliver the animal into the hands of the buyer until Yontif itself. And the Mefarshim explain here that we are now reflecting the Shita of Rabbi Shimon and Bat Metzia Memtesim and Beis Mos Konos. So the money for this purchase was given over to the Lokeach on Erev Yontif. So at that moment, on Erev Yontif, Lokeach now is the proud owner. He has acquired possession over the animal. And therefore, the Kinyan Shvisa will depend upon the Lokeach. Even though the Lokeach doesn't have the animal yet. He's only going to be given the animal. It's only being transmitted to him on Yontif. But he made the Kinyan on Erev Yontif. And by the way, we have to assume that he made the Kinyan on Erev Yontif, because otherwise, we don't allow Kinyan on Yontif. So why would a person make a Kinyan on Yontif? He must have made the Kinyan on Erev Yontif. And therefore, Rehi Kiragli Alokeach, the distance that you're allowed to locate this animal and relocate this animal depends upon the Shvisa of the Lokeach on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. So to Amos of Emel Aroah, Afal Pishalom Misaralo Elev Yontif Harei Kiragle Haroah. The same halach that we apply to a Lokeach who purchased the animal on Erev Yontif applies to the Roeh if the Roeh was hired on Erev Yontif. So the hiring was done and the financial agreement with the responsibility of the Roeh was clinched on Erev Yontif. The Mesira, the actual handing over the animal to the Roeh, took place on Yontif. Harei hi kiragli haroeh. Anyway, we see clearly that according to the opinion of Rabbi Dosa or Rabbi Shol, the din of the behemah is kiragli haroeh, not kiragli habailim. Our Mishnah says that the din of the behemah is always kiragli habailim, not kiragli haroeh. We cannot therefore reconcile this Mishnah with Rabbi Dosa. The Gemara rejects it. Afilu tam Rabbi Dosa, I can reconcile this Mishnah with Rabbi Dosa. Lo kasha kan beroa echad kan b'shnei roim. When Rabbi Dosa said in the Braisa that even though the actual mesira of the animal to the roeh to the shepherd took place on Yontif, it's still karaglia roeh. That's a case where in the entire city there's only one shepherd. And all the people in the city that have animals, they hand over, they transmit their animals to the domain of that roeh. And therefore the animal is considered as if it's in his rishus for the purpose of shepherding. And therefore, even though the bailim are still technically the owner, but they will not be kona shvisa vis-a-vis this animal, but rather the tikneh, the kinyan shvisa, will be kiragli haroeh. Why? Because there's only one roeh in town. It's a one-man show. And the das and the understanding was that this bailim would hand over the animal to this roeh because there's only one option. But in our Mishnah, when the mesiras habehemah l'roeh took place on Yontif, and we said it's kiragli habailim, that's a case of shnei roim be'ir. There are two shepherds in the city. We don't know into the hands, the possession of which of these two roim will the bailim finally agree to set up. We'll only find that out on Yontif. And therefore, the shvisa here, to be kona shvisa vis-a-vis this animal, is kiragli habailim. It's almost like you're guilty until proven innocent, so to speak. You know, it's until we know positively and certainly that the animal is going to be given over to the roeh, then we assume it's kiragle abayla. It's shvisa kiragle abayla. In order to undermine shvisa kiragle abayla, you have to be absolutely definite about the fact that the Bailam have no intention to use this object or this animal, but rather to give it over to a roeh. And in a case where there are two roeh in the city, then we don't have absolute knowledge and certainty that he's going to give it to this particular roeh. Dekar Nami, this is very midyak in the Mishnah. Dekatani, it says in the Mishnah that Nisara Libno Ola Roeh. It sounds like even his son is a roeh. In other words, there are two roeh, there are two shepherds, and the Bailam gave it to one of them. So this is a case where there are two roeh in the city. Yishma Mina. So this is a clear proof to the way that we tried to reconcile our Mishnah with Rabbi Dosa, and we said that Rabbi Dosa is talking about a case where there's only one roeh. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where there are two roeh. And therefore our Mishnah paskins that harehu kiraglei abehema, if the mesira of the animal to the roeh took place on yod. Amar Rabbi Baruchan Rabbi Yochanan halacha kirabbi dosa. We're going to accept the halacha like Rabbi Dosa. So the Gemara immediately objects. Umi amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi v'amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha kistam Mishnah. We have a principle of psak, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that we paskin like an anonymous Mishnah, meaning the fact that Rabbi, when he edited the Mishnah, he left out any names, he was indicating that this is the accepted halacha. And utnan, we have an Mishnah, behema v'akelim kiragli abaylim, that if a person transfers his animal over to his son or to a roeh, then it's kiragli abaylim. And this is the Stam Mishnah, and Rabbi Yochanan says we always paskin halacha like the Stam Mishnah. How then can Rabbi Yochanan say that we paskin like Rabbi Dosa? Rabbi Dosa says that if you hand over the animal to the roeh, harehu kiragli haroeh. Our Mishnah says harehu kiragli habaylim. So Gemara says, what are you asking such a question? Alav v'kimta, didn't we already interpret the Braisa and the Mishnah that kan b'roeh echad v'kan b'shnei roeh? In other words, there's no stira here in Rabbi Yochanan. We already have successfully reconciled Rabbi Dosa with our Mishnah. Rabbi Dosa is talking about a case where there's only one roeh in the city, one show in town, a one-man show. And that's why it's kiraglei haroeh. And Rabbi Yochanan accepts that principle and passes like Rabbi Dosa. But that's not against our Mishnah, even though it's a Stam Mishnah and it says kiraglei habaylim, because we're talking about in a case in our Mishnah where there are two roeh, and we don't know with any certainty which roeh will receive the animal. Tanu Rabbanu, we learned in the Braisa, Shnayim sheshalu choluk echad b'shutfis. When you have a chaluk, is a cloak that is owned by partners, and now we want to know on Yontif where and to what distance can we relocate the chaluk. Because both partners have rights, equal rights to use the object, in this case the garment, and therefore we should be limited to that area which is an overlap of both partners. Right. However, in this particular case of the Braisa, Ze lelech bo shachris lebeis hamesh, ze likonis bo arvis lebeis hamishta. What happens is that they split the day into two parts, the morning and the evening. And by the way, the Mepharshim say, why does he mention morning before evening? L'chora, evening should have come first, because it's the night of Yontif going into Yontif, and the day is later on. But l'kvod beis medrash, because the Kavanat Torah, they mention shachris first. Okay, fine. So let's say there are names here, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is going to wear this beged or use this beged in the morning of Yontif, and the night before the morning, it's going to be earmarked for the use of Shimon. So you have Reuven in the day and Shimon at night. Now it says, Arvis b'beis ha-mishteh. You know, it sounds like Beis HaMishteh is talking about Motzei Yontif, but that doesn't make any sense, because Motzei Yontif is already a different day. We're talking about a case where on Yontif itself, there's sort of like a tug of war between two Shutfin. Now the case itself becomes more complicated. Zeh Erev Olav Litzafon. One of these two Shutfim wants to walk towards the north. So he set up an Erev Tchumen towards the north, which gives him another 2,000 Amma beyond the 2,000 Amma boundary limit of the city on the north. Total of 4,000 Amma towards the north. But he has no rights to carry the Beged or even to walk himself towards the south, because we're giving him 4,000 Amma towards the north. Zeh Erev Olav Bitzafon. Vizeh Erev Olav Lidorom. And the other Shutov, we'll call him Shimon, he set up an Erev towards the south. His intention was to go towards the south. And he wants to take the cloak with him. So the Bryce of Paskins, that Zeh She'erev Olav Bitzafon, Malach Litzafon, Kiragli Misha Erev Olav Lidorom. He is limited, Reuven, by the circumference of the area that limits Shimon. So he can only bring the chalok ad makom sheraglov shel chavero she'irav litzad darom yicholos alechas litzafel yosef. In other words, he can only relocate the chalok within the overlap area that is mutter for both Reuven and Shimon, two shutfin. And the same thing in the flip side. Zeh she'erev olav lidorom, ma'alech lidorom. He can go towards the south, but only karagli be she'erev olav litzafon. He is limited, he is like chained in, handcuffed, by the area that the other shutfin could go. He's going only towards the north. So let's try to give this flesh it out in an actual case. We'll describe an actual case. Let's give the following example. Reuven wants to go north. So he sets up an Eruv 1,000 Amma outside the city limits on the northern side. That gives him another 2,000 Amma. So towards the north he has 3,000 Amma. And towards the south, he has 1,000 Amma. All told, 4,000 Amma. Because an Erev gives you, in addition to the 2,000, gives you another 2,000. Now we have Shimon. Shimon wants to go south. So Shimon sets up his Erev 1,000 Amma on the south side. Which means that now on the south side, he can go 3,000 Amma. He can only go north 1,000 Amma. So there's now an overlap between Reuven and Shimon of 1,000 Amma. And he summarizes it here. He writes, Shneim einim yichol moholich esachaluk ela bi'osam aleph elef Amma lechol ruach sheshneim mutarim la'alech bo. That's what we call the overlap. Now the Brisa continues, v'imitzu es hatchum. If each one puts his Erev at the end of the Tchum, meaning 2,000 Amma, not 1,000, but 2,000. That's L'matzot. Matzot means to exploit it to its maximum. So the maximum would be go 2,000 Amma, and then set up your Erev to give you another 2,000 Amma. You now have towards the north 4,000 Amma. And Shimon did the same towards the south, setting up his Erev Tchumin 2,000 Amma after this, out of the city. Is Hareza lo yazizena mimkoma. You can't move this chalok. It's got to stay exactly where it is. There's no overlap except for that point where they both stood on Erev Yod. Do you follow that, Rabbi Osei? Because again, Reuven in this case gets 4,000 Amma to the north. Shimon 4,000 Amma to the south. There's no overlap whatsoever. Is lo yazizena mimkoma. Itmar, we learned in the Beis Medrash, Shnayim Shalokhu. Now we're talking about Erev Yontov. Chavis, a barrel of beverage, Ubehema, and an animal, Bishutfis. So on Erev Yontov, two Shutfim acquired partnership in Mashkim, in something to drink, a beverage, or in Bosa Behema. Now, when they purchased as a partnership on Erev Yontif, this Chavis or this Behema, they had in mind that on Yontif they would divvy it up. They would, let's say, the, you know, Reuven one Shutif would get the Polka, and the other Shutif would get the Yerech, the thigh, the face, I don't know. Or one Shutif will get the top of the barrel, you know, the first higher wine, and the other will get the other wine. Now, Rav says something that makes no sense, which the Gemara is going to work hard to try to make sense out of it. Chavis muteres, each one of these shutfim is allowed to take his half of the chavis, like Reuven will take the top part, Shimon in the bottom, and can relocate it based on his erev tchum, based on his tchum. Even if his friend, the other partner, did not set up the area. Behema asur, but for some reason, when it comes to the animal, they shefted it on Yontif, and they want to now divvy up the various parts, the limbs of the animal, then they are both bound and limited to makom sheshneim mutarim la'alek shem. Shmuel omar chavis nami asur. Shmuel says that, to the same extent, you agree, Rav, that the Behema is Asura, so too you should agree that the Chavis is Asura. Now, why in this case is there an Isur? The answer is because they didn't actually divvy it up on Erev Yontif. They divvied it up on Yontif after the Shechita, or when they finally opened up the barrel of wine on Yontif. So the Gemara says, let's analyze Rav's Kula, his leniency in the case of Chavis. The Gemara says, Maika Savar Rav, Ika Savar Yesh Brera. Maybe the reason why Rav is lenient in the case of the Chavis is based on a fundamental principle called Yesh Brera. And Yesh Brera means that tomorrow we can clarify what we did today, and it operates and is valid retroactively. That's called Yesh Brera. So tomorrow, when we divvy up the wine, Reuven gets the top part of the barrel and Shimon the bottom, then Iglai Milsel Mafreya through Brera, it now becomes clear that initially on Erev Yontif, when they entered into the Shutfis, Reuven would get the top and Shimon would get the bottom. So the Gemara says, if that be the case, Afilu Behemot Tishtere. Rav should be consistent, and he should allow you, in the case of Behema, to apply the principle of Brera, and after they shecht it, Reuven will get his portion, and Shimon his, and he gloyvil some Afreya. Now we know that when they purchased the animal, Beshutfis, Reuven would get this, and Shimon would get that. Ikasavrein Brera, if you're going to tell me the reason why in Behema it's prohibited, and each one is limited by the other one's tchum, is because they're Shutfim, and ain Brera, then afilu chavis nami asur. You should be consistent, and even in the case of the barrel of wine, you should prohibit it. Liolam kasavar yeshber. Rav holds yeshber, and then, hence, we understand Rav's kula in the case of a chavis. Shanya behema de kayanki tchuma tchumin me'adod. But an animal is a live being, a live organism, and all the parts of the animal, as an organism, operate together. One depends on the other. I mean, you know, you can't have a heart without a liver, and so I mean, all the different organs of the body function as one organism. And therefore, Rav says that when they went into Yontif and they hadn't yet shechted the animal already is now owned by both Shutfim. You can't say Lamafreya, because Lamafreya would mean that it's as if Reuven had this part of the animal and Shimon had the other part of the animal, but the animal can't exist without you know, the interaction of all the animals, all the every behema, yonkim zemizeh. Yonkim literally means to nurse, meaning they sustain each other. There's no way you can split up the organism. It's one entity. And therefore, ein brera. In the note here, he quotes the Stipler. But again, I think we said it just as well. The Stipler says, ein omer brera kshehuvra shezeh chelko mitchila el bedover shoysa efsharus befa lachlok oso biosos man. You know, you could say lamafreya and brera if, going back to that time period, you could have theoretically divvied it up and said that zeh chelko and so forth and so forth. However, kevan sheba osa yunuka yonak chelko shel kolechem mechavero, each partner needs his other partner's chelik in order to be yonek, lo haisef sharis lachelko somer v'yontiv. You couldn't do such a chaluk, and therefore there's no brera. Amri lo rav kahanav rav asi lo rav, le'isar mukta lo chashishu, le'isar tchumin chashishu. Rav Kahana and Rav Asi objected to Rav. With regard to Mukta, everybody agrees that there's no Iser Mukta, which means the following, that if you have partners in an animal going into Shabbos, we're not going to say that, well, he says the following, certainly each one of the two shutfim excludes the other chelik of his friend. He's not going to steal his friend's segment. And chelko shel chaver nechshav mukta ligabov. And therefore, it's mukta, the other person's chelik. We're not going to say that this is one entity and therefore the mukta of his friend spreads to his part and he won't be able to eat his part. So why not apply a consistent rule in terms of halacha to be molech the chelko b'makom shechavero also where he's allowed to go? Shosik Rav, and Rav didn't have an answer. Here you have Machlokas Rishon, and Rosh learns that he didn't even bother answering the question. He felt it was not a real question, but the Malamar and others say no. He was Shosik because he admitted that he was stumped. My Havi Allah, how do we paskin in the Shaila Rav Oshi Amar Yesh Brera? We paskin that there is Brera, and therefore each one of the two Shutfim, in both the cases of Chavis and Behemoth, if we don't accept the Yanika Svara, you're allowed to carry your chelik as far as you want, meaning based on your Kinyan Shvisa. You don't have to be limited by the Kinyan Shvisa of the other partner, because Yesh Brera, Rabbi Yochanan or Ein Brera. So the Gemara immediately objects, V'savar Av Hoshia Yesh Brera, are you submitting to me in your transmission that Rav Hoshia is the one who holds Yesh Brera? Tonight I'm going to prove to you that Rav Hoshia rejects Brera. In the case of Olos, the Mishnah establishes in the seventh perek with regard to Tumas Mess that if you have a mess in a bias, and this house where the corpse is has many different openings, Yeshlo Pesach Psochim Harbe, Kulam Tmeim, any Kalim that are underneath the ledge of any of these Psochim are Tmeim. Because we never know which Pesach the corpse is going to be taken out for burial. So they're all tamei. However, niftach echad mihem, if after the person died, they opened up one of the entranceways, then hu tamei v'kulam tahorim. Now at this point we know clearly that the mess is going to go out of this particular entranceway because they opened it up. And any kale that you bring in to the other psachim, meaning underneath the ledge of the other openings, the other doors, all that is tov. Now, what happens before they open up that Pesach? Chishev lo tzio b'yechad mihem. The person in charge of burying the dead had already made a decision in his mind, he didn't do any action yet, that he would take the mess through that particular Pesach. Oh, b'chalon sheyesh b'arba al arba, or another case where you have an opening that's very wide, it's arba al bar tfachim, and that's large enough to take out the mess. In all these cases, matzeles al apsachim kulon, the decision that was made in the mental state that they would take the mess out of this one, that is matzeles, that is protects the Torah status of all the kelim in the other psachim. Beit Shammai omrim, v'hu shechishev olav ad shelo yomos. He would have had to have thought about it while the person was still alive before he died. Only that machshava, which was thought about before the Misa, that could be matzeles, that could save the other psachim when he decided that when the inevitable happens, he'll take the mess out of this particular pesach. Even if he thinks and decides to take the mess out of one particular pesach after the mess had already died. And we learned regarding this machlokas, Amrav Oshia, Letaira sapsocha mikanu lahaba, that when Beis Hillel said that even if he had a machshava after the death, that machshava is valid, is meaningful. That's only the taras hakelim b'shara psocha mikan lahava. In other words, any kelim that came into that Pesach, or any of the other psochim, I should say, after he made that decision. So the Gemara is medayik now. According to Rav Oshi, mikan lahava in l'mafreya lo. The fact that he made that decision later on would not have any impact on the kelim that were there already before his machshava. Why? Because ein brera. So how do we reconcile this? We see that with regard to tumah, Rav Oshia maintains the position of ein brera, and yet we said that Rav Oshia, in the case of tchumin, held yesh brera. So the Gemara says epuch. We're going to have to say Rav Oshia amar ein brera. That's why the machshava is not going to work l'mafreya. I, the case of chavis and behema, in the case of tchumin, there, Rav Oshi would say it's awesome. You're going to be limited by the circumference of the area of the two shutfa. So the Gemara says, now you're telling me that according to Rav Yochanan and me, islay Rav Yochanan brera, if you're switching around the shitos, then it turns out that Rav Yochanan is going to be the one who holds Yesh Breira for Omer Rav Asi, Omer Rav Yochanan, Ha'achim, Shecholku, Lekuchosein, Umachzirin, Zela, Zebiyovel. The law is that there's no Chazor Biyovel in a case of Yerusha. But Rav Yochanan is quoted as saying that when the Achim divvy up the Yerusha, they have a status of Lekuchos. And they make a new acquisition on every part of the estate that falls into their lot. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan holds Ein Brera. If Rabbi Yochanan would have held Yesh Brera, then even after they divide it up, it's considered like Yerusha, and it would not be Chozer B'Yovel. The reason why Rabbi Yochanan insists that it's Chozer B'Yovel is because of Kilakuchos, because of Ein Brera. The Chitim, maybe you'll say, Ki Lesley L'Rabbi Yochanan Brera, when does Rabbi Yochanan refuse to accept Brera? He holds Ein Brera, that's only with the Raisa. That's only with regard to a Din Torah. We're not going to rely on Brera. And therefore, with regard to Yovel, which is a Doraisa, we're not going to say Huvar Adovel Mafreya, but rather the Din is Lekuchos, Machzirin Zel Zebiyovel. Avol, with regard to Tchumin, Bin Rabbanon, which is only a rabbinic law, Isle, Rabbi Yochanan does accept Brera. That's impossible. Why? Because b'rabbanan b'islay. Are you going to tell me that Rabbi Yochanan accepts Brera on a drabbanan? For Tani Ayo, we have a Brisa, or perhaps a Mishnah in Erevin, which is brought down in the name of somebody by the name of Ayo, that if a person wants to set up a Tanai, and he doesn't know whether he wants to go north or south, he can set up two different Erevin, and he can make a Tanai. He could say, look, if I have to go towards the north, my Rebbe is coming from the north, then let this Eruv be valid. And that's going to give me another 2,000 Amah towards the north. But I don't know, he might come from the south or from the west or wherever he'll come. So I'm going to set up another Eruv. And in the event that I need that Eruv, then that Eruv will be called a Shvisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Odo Masna, Al Shnei Dvarim Ke'echad. You can't say that later on Yom Tov or on Shabbos itself, he'll decide whether he wants to use this Eruv or the other Eruv. The Eruv has to be clear and set on Erev Shabbos. Ela, im ba chacham lemizrach, Eruva lemizrach, lemayrov, Eruva lemayrov, v'ilu lekan lekan lo. You can't have two Eruvim going in two different directions. And on this, we have a question and an answer from Rabbi Yochanan. Vavinan bar this on top of Lamiches, Maishno Lakan Ulakan Delo. Why is it that if he makes a Tanai on both north and south, it's not going to work? Rabbi Yehuda rejects it, the Ein Brera, because Rabbi Yehuda holds Ein Brera, Mizrach Umayrav Nami Ein Brera. Even if he makes a Tanai that the Chacham is going to come from the Mizrach, he wants to be Kona his Erev on the Mizrach side, or if he comes from the western side, he wants to be Kona his Erev on the western side. We should again apply the principle of Ein Brera, and it shouldn't be meaningful, it should not be valid. Om Rav Yochanan Kvar Bachacham, Ein Achinami, there's no Brera, and that's why if he makes it in two directions, he can't have both, he can't have his cake and eat it. But in the case of the Chacham, we're talking about a situation where the Chacham already came on Erev Shabbos. He came either from the Mizrach or the Ma'ariv, we simply don't know. And in that case, we'll find out exactly where he came, and we'll know which Erev is valid. Alma, we see, less later, Rabbi Yochanan Brera. Rabbi Yochanan rejects Brera, even in a din d'rabbanan like Tchumim. Ela, therefore, li'olam lo tepuch. We go back to our original formulation. Rabbi Yochanan holds that in the case of Chavis and Behema, they're both Asuros, Ein Brera. Rabbi Oshia is the one who holds that as far as Chavis and Behema, they're both Mutaros and Yesh Brera. But for less later, Rabbi Yoshia Brera, in the case of Tumas Mes, we saw that Rabbi Oshia rejects Brera. That's the Doraisa. That's because on a Doraisa level, we're not going to say Lamafreya and rely on Brera. Avol b'Drabbanan Islay, but Rabbi Oshia accepts Brera for a din d'Rabbanan like Tchumin, and therefore Rabbi Oshia will accept Brera with regard to Tchumin. Dorash Mar Zutra Halacha Ke Rabbi Oshia. We pass in like Rav Oshia that both in the case of Chavis and in the case of Behema, they are both mutaros for each one of the shutfin. It could be molechit according to his tchum, and that's because we pass in like Rav Oshia, and we hold that Ein Brera. That way, we hold Yesh Brera on a Dura Bottom. Okay, then this is where we'll stop for today.